Hello, I'm Kevin Ron, and this is Insight. Insight into the organization known as the Community House, whose mission is to reach, love, serve, and empower broken, hurting, and in-need individuals within our community by breaking the cycle of poverty and assisting those at risk of or experiencing homelessness. I am talking with two ladies today that are a part of the board of the Community House. Our first guest is Rochelle Kerr, who is the wife of Pastor Jason Kerr of Highlands Church of the Cumberlands, and also our daughter. Rochelle, I want people to understand that growing up, and even as the wife of a pastor, you've always been a doer, a get-it-done kind of person, a person who is really good with administration as well, but yet not a person so much known as a dreamer or a visionary, but yet God gave you this dream, this vision for the Community House. Explain.
Yes, honestly, that I think with such a large vision, maybe that's what it took to get my attention. I'm very task-driven. That's check off the to-do list. That's my life and my mind work very much in the daily process. And my husband is an incredible visionary. But I've always felt like my place in our marriage, and I've cherished it, but it's a very needed component. But he supplies the vision, and I help supply the support to make that happen, the practical application of that. And several years ago, we were actually in the vehicle with, it was our family, it was Jason, myself, Eden, and Levi, and we were just brainstorming and talking about how we would like to impact people, impact our community, and this idea of emergent housing and how needed it is was a passion just bubbling up in my heart, and as I talk about it, the car is just full of energy and passion and excitement. And I thought, oh, that would be so nice down the road. You know, we'll pray for a building and that's going to be a great thing. And then very rapidly, I feel that it became more and more clear of how urgent and how needed this is. And it took on its own very unique look. And you know, if you're listening right now, you know, if you're very task-driven, that type of personality, you don't look for very large things to tackle because that's very tedious and that has a lot of to-dos. Your to-do list grows from a few things to pages of things. And so it can be very overwhelming, but that's how you know. I've often heard it said, the Lord calls us to things that are much bigger than we are. Why? Because we must seek His strength. We must seek the connection with others, their giftings. It has to be bigger than us so that we don't get in the way. We rely on others. We rely on Him, His vision. And so I think that may be why He dropped this in my heart and mind in particular. And as quickly as He did, and I verbalized it, it was out there. And so the other people that He had been imprinting this or something similar on their heart immediately sprang up. And we started with this small little group, grassroots effort, just brainstorming because we don't have anything like that here. And immediately we thought of the other incredible nonprofits in our community doing something to bless those that are struggling. And it can be different facets. You know, you take Manna House and William Webb and the crew there, and they're bringing such a needed element. There's no way. This Insight program is not long enough for me to speak to the fruit of Manna House. It is impacting our community in the most glorious way. Then you take the Ventress Hope Foundation. They're meeting immediate needs every single day. You take some of our incredible organizations like the Rotary Club, even our Chamber of Commerce, handfuls of the Harvest Soup Kitchen, and so many others. I shouldn't even start naming because there are so many. And so many churches, individual churches, that are just meeting needs left and right. And so we immediately realized we don't have the power or the skill set or the toolbox needed to accomplish all this. We connected, shared the vision with other like-minded people who are already doing things. They're already meeting needs. And immediately, Manna House was one of the first on board because we know that when you're talking about homelessness, sometimes it could be a family struggling with homelessness. It could be the dynamic of a father and a daughter, or a mother and a son. And that falls in a unique category because they don't fit into the traditional homeless shelter dynamic where it is by gender and by age. So that doesn't happen. They're rejected. They can't fall into that type of setting. And then you take folks who have gone through Manor House program. Maybe they were incarcerated and that was a step to breaking that cycle of addiction. And now they're growing and learning in Manor House, but their only option is to go back to a home that does not belong to them. They have no authority there. It's full of the very things that brought them to this place that they've just grown past. Yet, what are their options? They become homeless or they go back into this environment that is not conducive for growth and healing and progress. And, you know, as soon as we looked at this and we shared this with William Webb, he immediately said, he honestly cried. And he said, this is the very thing that we've been praying about, our board. And he said, this is an answer to prayer. We can't meet this need. They're doing exactly what they're called to do. And he said, this is a need that we can't meet, but it's causing a disruption in the pattern of growth. And we see it, and it's heart-wrenching to know they have nowhere to go. Or maybe they're involved in Manor House, and they have no housing. They have to be taken outside this community for housing, and then they can't participate in the program that they were seeing progress with. So this is something that is going to come alongside these beautiful organizations that are already ministering and meeting needs here within our community. All of them have already said, we're here. We're supporting you 100%. This is so needed. So we have the support of community leaders. We have the support of state leaders. We have the support of our other nonprofits. We have the support of our Chamber of Commerce, our Rotary Club. So this is something that is really a fire that we could not start. It is so much larger than a small group of people. This is a fire and a dream and a vision that wasn't just dropped in my heart and my mind, but it was dropped in countless others for this time in this season. And I will just quickly share, you know, I mentioned the dynamic of a family, how they don't fit into a traditional homeless shelter. And so we have been looking at what works around us and what does not work. We've been seeking the counsel and the wisdom from representatives of HUD and their nonprofit HEART, their homeless advocates, and they're full of wisdom from other communities. And they're looking at data. They're looking at what works. They're looking at what doesn't work. They're seeing where other shelters are failing. And so they're filling us with all of this wisdom and knowledge so that from the ground up, we can not make those same mistakes. And we're so grateful for what everybody is doing. But it's great to be able to learn from other people's mistakes. So our desire is to have a farm setting with a central farmhouse that would provide services, mental health services, addiction recovery services, occupational, vocational type trainings, meeting the needs, filling in the gaps. Our administrative team would be housed there as well, food, fellowship there in that central farmhouse. Also, some medical clinics, meeting medical, vision, and dental needs. All those things are already in place, even though we don't have that literal physical location yet. But then along the property, we would have tiny homes and apartment type structures that would meet the needs of individuals. It would give them privacy. It would give them a sense of independence. And yet it will be an extremely safe environment. It will be a beautiful environment. It will be a working farm. There won't be anyone sitting idle. They'll either be working or being, really, honestly, it will go hand in hand, working and being trained at the same time. This is not a passive thing. This is going to be a very active thing because our goal is not to enable, but to empower. Our desire is to break the cycle of poverty and give people a sense of hope. It can be different. It doesn't matter what it was like for mom, dad, grandma, and grandpa. It can be different beginning now, and to give them the tools they need to make it different. And I want to introduce one of my dearest friends and sisters, and we would not be where we are without her heart, her passion, her wisdom and expertise in these areas. She has been such priceless sister to me, Diana Douglas, and I want her to share from her perspective and also share some of the ways that you can reach out to learn more information or to help with this large, beautiful vision.
Hi, Kevin. It's an honor to be here. And the community house is something that I've dreamed of my entire life. And it's amazing how God works, because I look back at everything He's had me do throughout my life and the heart He's given me for people that are hurting. And I look at, I've always worked in nonprofits. I've always worked in inner city hospitals or major nonprofits where we were serving and helping people that were most in need. And I look back and I see that He was preparing me to be able to have a range of knowledge to be able to help, because the community house has taken on a life of its own. It's rare that you're part of anything that starts up in 6 months. I mean, we really started in earnest in June and established a 501(c) and put in our nonprofit application and our charters. And we were told that this would take months and there would be red tape and just be patient. And everything just fell into place. Our 501(c) was approved in a month's time from the federal government. All of our foundational documents in place. But the beauty of it is all of the people, everyone who heard of it, it's like God put them in our path and they said, what can we do? This is so needed. And I've never been part of a community so responsive to anything in my entire life. And it's absolutely beautiful to see the willingness, but also the urgency. There's a sense of urgency on God's heart and on this community for this project. I don't have to tell people that are listening that our economy is different now. Even in this community, you should be able to rent a house for $500 or $600. Now you're looking at $1,200 and up. Families, even hardworking families with two jobs, can't afford that. We can't afford groceries. If we can afford that, we can't afford first, last, and security deposits. Or it's just a situation that so many people are facing, and they're giving it their all and getting further and further behind. So we drive around now, and we see a lot of people living in sheds and trailers. Mm-hmm. We see people wandering the street that we know are homeless. These are sights we've never seen in our town, in our county before. And a lot of them are in hiding. You may not see them because they're in a rural area, or they're sleeping on different people's couches, or they're staying out of sight, living in camps in the woods. So we have a disadvantage over many urban areas where we have a difficult time counting the number of people that are homeless in this area. And that number is what all of the government agencies hang their hats on when they fund our area. So we're learning about how to partner and get this information out there so that we can plug into more resources for our community. So right now, our heart for this is something different than what you might picture for a homeless shelter. It's not a brick building with a cot and a hot where they kick you out at 8 a.m. and say, have a nice day. Mm-hmm. This is a place where we see you as a human being. We look at what you need and plug in to what you need to get to a place of independence, yes, to get to a place of pride and no shame. I mean, the cycle of poverty has broken so many people's spirits. And then the final thing I want to say before I share some contact information is, since we opened our hearts to this and we started telling people in the community, the word has gotten out that we're a resource. And we don't have a physical building yet. We're working on that. But there are so many people in need that we're hearing of and that God is putting in our paths. Just individually, I met a man at a gas station who I learned was living out of his truck that had no heat. And we were able to plug him into resources. I've met a woman that's been living without water in her home, which is in substandard conditions since her pipes froze, and doesn't have the means to hire a plumber to fix her home. We know of many people that are living in sheds. So technically, yeah, they have a roof over their head, but they don't have insulation. They don't have electric, water, heat, any of those resources. Many people don't have transportation. They can't afford to pay for their phone service. So they can't receive that important call they've been waiting for to get resources to get them out of that situation. So for the here and now, while we're working towards our ultimate, which is a safe place for people to receive services and recover and heal, we're looking for ways to meet emergent needs. And for some people, it's very simple. I want a blanket. I need a bottle of clean water. I don't know who to call. Can you help me? Can you give me a gas money so that I can get to a local church and get a hot meal? And coming alongside and learning from the organizations already in our community, so we're not duplicating resources, we're working together to make this a group effort. This community is special. The heart in this community is, what can I do? And we see the need and we don't know where to begin. This is something you can do. Come alongside the community house and share either your skills. If you're a plumber, an electrician, a contractor, and you can work, an HVAC person, and you can work at a discount or help us get discount supplies for people, we welcome your support and we welcome your partnership. If you have extra blankets or you can donate money for Walmart gift cards, we welcome that. And we promise you that we will faithfully distribute whatever you do as if it's our own funds. It's God's money. How you can come alongside us, we have a way to donate on our website. If you go to www.thecommunityhousetn.org, you will see a donate page and lots of information, and we will continue to update and have forms and things that you can join alongside us. You can email us at info@thecommunityhousetn.org. You can also call us and leave a message at 931-264-5050. And we do have a Facebook page as well. Just search for The Community House, no spaces between the words, and we will pop up. And you can keep an eye on where we're going to be having upcoming free medical clinics, distributing food, and appearing at other community events.
Rochelle, back to you. This is a project not to just give someone a place to hang out, to live for a while. This is to empower them to rise above where they are. And you already have so many individuals that are on board with you, ready to do that. We just need this place. Share with us about those individuals and the types of things we're talking about.
We've had some incredible people step up within our school system, within the Roan State community, offering to help fill in those educational gaps. And there are some incredible services offered through the state of Tennessee to help meet those needs. So we're extremely grateful for those connections, but also local folks, skilled auto mechanics, things like that, who have stepped up and said, I would love to teach a class. I would love to help. Computer skills. You know, this is so needed. Being able to fill out a resume and things like this, we want to serve as advocates for people who are struggling. We just have been meeting some emergent needs this week. And one of the first questions, have you applied for any type of housing? And the immediate response, I don't even know where to start. That's part of the problem that we're seeing is there may be resources there, and there are some resources out there to meet these needs, thankfully. However, people are so overwhelmed, they lose complete hope to even try. They have no idea where to look. I mean, it's so vast. How would you even know to reach out to what local organizations, to what state? It is so overwhelming, and that's why we're so grateful for the connections that we have with UCHRA, with the Rotary Club, with the Chamber of Commerce, with Fentress Hope Foundation, with Manor House, with some of these local organizations, Handfuls of the Harvest, who are already very knowledgeable in certain areas, and so they're helping us with application processes and things like that, providing the needed hand to say, you may be completely overwhelmed, but here I am and I'm going to help you. You can do this. There is nothing more empowering. You want to take somebody who doesn't really know what to do or how to do it, and you give them the ability to be empowered, to start taking steps. They'll run with it. I know that's not always the case, but the majority will. Once you get a success, a win, it is so empowering. And so that's our desire, to break this mentality that says, I can't, I won't, my mama couldn't, my daddy couldn't, I can't, or even those that did at one point. They were successful, because there are many stories like that. They were thriving, they were successful, and just like that, something flipped, something happened, something fell apart, the economy crashed, and all of a sudden these capable people were found hopeless and helpless. So it's not, as Diana mentioned, it's not, well, we can help these people, but we can't help you. My wonderful brother that I've already mentioned, William Webb, and most of you know him as Billy, but he said, once you start serving people, you can never leave them hopeless. So he said, you may not be able to meet all their needs, but you don't leave them stranded. You do something. You do what you can do. And that's why I love our community so much. Because yesterday we had a desperate situation facing Diana and I with some massive needs, with a situation with homelessness, because they would be classified as homeless due to their living condition. And immediately I could reach out to this beautiful network and automatically, oh, yes, I can do this. Oh, yes, I can do this. Oh, yes, I can help with the paperwork. And so that is what we love, and that is what we are so grateful for. And I also want to say this in closing. I want to encourage you, if you're listening right now to this program, chances are you are in a position that you're comfortable. You have a roof over your head. You have heat. You have water. You have electricity. You have food and clothing. And you can bless others. And so I'm asking, shake things up, shape a new tradition in your family, your immediate family, your extended family, where you begin to give in honor of family members. You give to Manna House Ministries in honor of your mother and father who are still living. You want to bless them. They don't need more stuff. So you can give. You give to the Fentress Hope Foundation in honor of your grandmother. You begin to pour back into this community. You give to the community house in honor of your extended family. But please consider the organizations here that are actively helping our residents within our community. And I would ask you humbly, pouring into the community house. We are a 501c3. We are established. We do have a very secure way to donate. Your information will be extremely secure. Our CPA painstakingly went through the process to make sure that anything given will be safe. You will be safe. Or if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can absolutely 100% drop it by the radio station right here, WDEB, 403 Livingston Avenue. You put our names on it, they'll get it to us. As Diana mentioned, we have a P.O. box. You're more than welcome to reach out by phone, by email, snail mail, and we will share those again now for you. It is info@thecommunityhousetn.org. That's our email, and our website is thecommunityhousetn.org. Our P.O. box is 284, and that is Jamestown, Tennessee, 38556. And our number is 931-264-5050. We welcome your questions, your desire to help. We do need people. One of the greatest needs right now, electricians, contractors, people that can do various jobs, because there are so many living in literal sheds with nothing, no insulation at all whatsoever, and they're freezing. And so we do need people who can help, who can take just 30 minutes and evaluate a situation so that we can determine what we can do that would be efficient and effective and help provide some relief. So we would love to hear from you. We need the beautiful support of this community. I was born and raised here. I cannot leave this place. It has my heart. It is such a beautiful community, and I'm so humbled to be part of it. And I'm humbled to see all of the others that are like-minded and want to be selfless and help. So thank you. Please prayerfully consider how you can be part of the community house.
You've talked so much about the needs of others and meeting those needs. And right now, before we close out, the community house also has a major need, and that is for a physical location. Tell our listeners what the community house is looking for?
We need property. Ideally, we would love to have a large piece of farmland with a farmhouse on it. Our goal, our vision is to have at least 20 acres, but we welcome more. We would love to have 60, 70 plus acres because our vision, this is phase one. It's ever expanding. We already have a phase two that we're looking at to expand our services and the needs that we can meet to expand what we are able to do. And so we're looking for a good chunk of property. And the end goal is for us to have a working farm where they'll learn animal husbandry, they'll learn gardening, agricultural skills, they'll learn what things work for our area, they'll learn how to produce with their very own hands. We'll have beehives, we'll have all types of things, chickens, eggs, and eventually we'll have a farm store where we help supply our community with some of these local goods. And I love what our community is already doing with that. I love our local producers, whether it's agriculture or beef, chicken, pork production, whatever. I love keeping it local. We are 100% about keeping it local. So that's our desire, is to bring another source for those things here, all the while training our precious participants on these skills and what that feels like. And alongside that, we will have things like auto mechanic classes, welding classes, computer technology courses, and things like that to help them truly be independent. Our desire is that they leave us well prepared to establish themselves as a productive, independent person, not having to depend on people to supply their needs, but they're able to take charge of their lives and truly not just meet their own needs, but begin to pour back into others. That's our desire.
And what a grand desire, pouring into the homeless so they can become independent and eventually pour into others. It was Denzel Washington that said, at the end, it's not about what you have or even what you've accomplished. It's about who you've lifted up, who you've made better. It's about what you've given back. John Travolta said, you feel alive to the degree that you feel you can help others. Anne Frank once said, no one has ever become poor by giving. And finally, Winston Churchill said it this way, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. For Insight, until next time, I'm Kevin Rahn.